If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of John, chapter number 5. I want to read a few verses from the book of John, chapter number 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. John, chapter number 5, and verse number 1. The Bible says, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." I'll say amen to right there. I'm glad I'm a whosoever tonight. And I'm glad of whatsoever. You see, God, He don't care who you are. He don't care if you're rich. He don't care if you're poor. He don't care if you got two nickels in your pocket to rub together. He don't even care what you've been doing. He said, "You may come whosoever of whatsoever." Let me tell you what it did not say. It did not say whensoever. You see, a lot of people think they have this whensoever gospel, that any time that they think that they may be on their deathbed, that God will give them a chance. But God never promised us that chance. He did not give us a whensoever gospel. But I'm going to tell you, I stand proud tonight to tell you that we have a whosoever gospel and a whatsoever gospel. So it lets me know that no matter what I've done, God will still forgive me, and God is still in control of that. And let me say, some of you may be in here tonight and have relatives, or you even have children that are out. You say they'll never be in the house of God. Let me say whatsoever tonight. God, don't limit God. God always has possibilities. Whosoever and whatsoever. I'm glad we serve a God of whosoever's. Verse 5 says, "And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, said, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath." Here we find a very interesting story tonight. I've never taught out of this. I've never preached out of this chapter, these passages of Scripture before. We have a very interesting story of John was the only one that recorded it. It's not found in Matthew. It's not found in Mark. It's not even found in Luke. But John decided to pin it down. One man told me, he said, "If you ever want to start reading the Bible, which book would you pick?" And he said, "The book of John." The John is a very profound book in the Bible. And he's recording things here about the pool of Bethesda. The pool of Bethesda means house of pity or house of mercy. I thank God tonight we have a house of mercy. You see, when I deserved hell, there was a God of mercy. Here in the reading of our text, we find a lame man who had a certain disease, and he had that disease for a very long time. The Bible said he had had it for 38 years. You say, I used to read that and think the man was 38 years old. But no, he had the infirmity of the disease for some 38 years. Now that's a long time to have a certain disease to where you cannot walk. The Bible said he was lame. I found very interesting in this story, and I've entitled the message. I got three titles for this thing, and you just pick which one you want to go with. The first one I said, "I'm alive but dead." The second one, "I'm stuck on the porch." And the third one, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Alive but dead. It's a very interesting fact that this guy was not living, but he was surviving. You see, a lot of times in the house of God, we see a lot of Christians. They're not just, God wants us to be living. The Bible said He's come to give us life and give life what? More abundantly. But I find many times in the Christian walk, we find people surviving instead of living. I found myself sometimes in my own life, I'm just surviving and I'm not living. You see, God wants us to thrive with joy, peace, love. the fruits of the Spirit. He gives us those things when we got saved, and He gives us those characteristics of Christ, and He wants us to have joy and peace and have all of that and find all that we need in Jesus. And it's easy to say that until it comes down to your house where you find yourself surviving and not living anymore. You see, this lame man, he was laid there no telling how long. The Bible said he had the infirmity 38 years. I can't tell you that he had laid there for 38 years on one of these porches. But I can tell you this, he'd probably been there for some long time. And the Bible very clearly says that, "Sir, I have no man." You see, one of us, if we was there, we'd probably said, "I was lame, but my father came along and was able to carry me over to the pool. Or my mother thought enough about me that it would take me to the pool when that angel troubled those waters, and they'd just take me right to that pool and I'd get healed of whatsoever disease I had because I was one of those whosoevers." That lame man said, "Sir, I have no man." And he was talking to Jesus. And Jesus said, Jesus came to him that he had passed. You say, why was Jesus there? You'll see at this period of time there was a feast going on. A lot of people say, what is the feast that was happening? It could have been the Feast of the Tabernacle. Could have been the Feast of Pentecost. And many people believe it was the Feast of Pentecost. And Jesus traveled from Cana of Galilee all the way back up to Jerusalem to be there. And I think God had preordained it that He would walk by that pool that day and see a man. He said, "Sir, I have no man." You see, one of us would have thought one of our members of our family would do that for us. But this man had nobody. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "You didn't have anybody that could get you to Christ. The only person that could get you to Christ was Jesus Himself." You see, many people today think they're going to go in on their family's coattail into heaven. Let me tell you what you're going to go on. The only way you're into heaven is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." It's very clear. Very, very dogmatic on that statement. The only way into heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. This man, as he stayed there some 38 years, no doubt he had seen many things. I want to say, first of all, he lived in a crowded place. You see, this place was full of tradition. Everybody that was a male child in Jerusalem that was lived within 15 miles of the city had to go back to Jerusalem for this feast. And they all traveled up there. No doubt as that lame man lay there on the ground, he saw all those people that would come around him was gathering back up into Jerusalem there for that celebration of that feast. And he said, why? Imagine what he thought. No doubt in his mind he said, why can't I walk like that man? You see, it's all right to be down as long as everybody around you is down. We're all right with that. But when somebody's a little bit better, doing better than we are, we're not okay with that. And no doubt when that man looked around, you know what he said? He said, why can't I be like that man that can walk? Not only that, you'll see, in this crowded place, it was a place of tradition. Jerusalem was the religious capital of the world and still is today. Everything that any type of religion that was going on was going past there that day. They was there to do their tradition. Not only was there tradition there, there was trading. The Bible said that they was there by the sheep market or the sheep gate. That was the same one Nehemiah had rebuilt back in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 3, when he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. He rebuilt the sheep gate. And no doubt they traded those sheep there for sacrificial offerings. That guy lay there on his porch and he could probably see all those people passing by with those sheep. And he could see that. There was a place of trading. But I want to say this, it was a place of trouble. I see four groups of people that the Bible names out very clearly in this passage. He said there was impotent folk. There were halt folk. There were blind folk. And there were wither folk. And the Bible said they had five porches that were gathered around that pool. And as each one, they probably gathered there with the people that were like them. No doubt the blind man probably said to the other blind man, did you see what happened? And the blind man said, no, I couldn't. And no doubt the deaf man that was there, he asked another one, says, did you hear that? And he said, no, I couldn't hear it. And the other one said, could you get up and get to the pool when the angel come down to trouble the waters? And he said, I couldn't do it. And then the withered said, I couldn't get up because I'm just a bag of bones and no longer I can do what I once could because I lost all my strength and I'm withered away. And the other one said, I'm just like you. And no doubt as they gathered those porches there, they had them all, they grouped themselves with people that were like them. And I've noticed that in my Christian walk, and I noticed it where my job, where I work at, people group themselves with the people that are like them. So I ask you this question, are you stuck on the porch? You see, this man was stuck on the porch. He was bound to where he was laid. He couldn't get to that water. He couldn't, even when the water, if he even saw them come down, the angel, and trouble that water, he could no longer get up and move to get into it. Everybody was always ahead of him. Anybody like that in life? Everybody seems like they're ahead of you. You see, we're all right with people that are like us when we're down. But when somebody's ahead of us, we can't stand that. And no doubt that lame man had those same thoughts that we would have thought. A crowded place. You see, this was a place where people gathered. And those withered people, I wrote this down. I said, we spend more time studying people around us rather than studying ourselves. You see, no doubt, probably as that lame man looked around, he saw those blind people and he said, I wish I could walk like that blind man. And as he looked at those deaf people, he probably said, I wish I could get up and move around like they could. And no doubt as the blind man looked on the lame man, they said, I wish I could see like he could. And see, we group ourselves and we begin to study other people instead of studying of ourselves. I've noticed in this walk of life, in this Christian race, that I've got enough inside of here, from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, that I can't study anybody else. I got more problems with this man that you see in this coat tonight than combined all of y'all. I've got more problems with this man to study somebody else. A crowded place. Not only you'll see it's a crowded place, you'll see it was a crippled person. You'll see, first of all, this man had a disability. He was lame. You say, well, how long? He'd been there 38 years in that disability. You see, a lot of times we get stuck in our disabilities. We say we can't. We can't. Now come with me this and try to imagine this. If we had had a disease for some 38 years, I think I would have asked somebody to tote me down there closer to the water in 38 years. I would have just went out to somebody and said, could you help me get closer to that pool? If I could only get to the pool and the angel trouble the waters, I can get healed of this disease. And no doubt that man had seen, as those seasons passed, he'd seen people that had got healed and he'd got seen people that had infirmities get healed of them and walk away. But this man was crippled and he had no man. He says, sir, I have no man to get me to the pool. Look down in verse number four. In our text, it says this, for an angel went down at a certain season to the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. He had a disease. He was impotent. He was without strength. I want to say this to everybody in the building tonight. There's been a time I was without strength. You see, I couldn't get to God. I'm glad God came to me. I remember as a young boy, I was 19, almost 20 years old, in the front row of Faith Baptist Church in Roanoke, Alabama, the Holy Ghost dealing with my heart. And a man opened up the altar in a funeral and said, if you want to be saved, would you be saved? And I said, Lord, save me. And I thank God he reached down that day and he lifted all the burdens that I've been toting all my life off that day. And no doubt there's been burdens since, but I had never been burdened about where my soul was going to be. I thank God that when He saves us forever. That may make a little of you nervous, but I'm glad the Bible said, these things have I written unto you that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm glad we can know some things. You'll never have the joy and the peace of God until you know you're saved and you're secured. And you're sealed in the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. I thank God that when He saves me, He saved me forever. And anybody that's ever been saved, guess what? You're saved forever. God will never kick you out of the family. You're as saved as the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you're wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's wrapped up in the Father. And if you went to hell, Jesus Christ Himself would have to go to hell because you was in there tonight. Because I have Him living inside of me. This man was 38 years old, been in an infirmity for 38 years. He had been in there a long duration. Not only that, he had suffered many disappointments because of it. He could never come in first place. You see, every time that angel come down and trouble that water, somebody would step in before him. And he'd probably say something like me and you. He'd say, next time I'll make it. Anybody ever did that? Said, next time it'll be me. You see, I've noticed in serving Christ, sometimes you have to push people out of the way to get what Jesus has got for you. I say that very cautiously, but that's what it is. Jesus opened, the angel troubled that water, and the first person in, probably if you had a real need, you'd be the first one to run down there, wouldn't you? You'd be the first one. And not only that, you'd probably cheat. Any of y'all ever gotten a race in school? And they told you to get up on the line? And I mean, you was trying to time it. They say, ready and set. By the time they said set, you already took you a couple steps to try to get ahead of everybody else. You didn't even wait for the go. I guarantee you, this man was just like that. All he was looking for was that angel. He said, well, I'm going to time this thing just right. When that angel comes down, I'm going to jump out and I'm going to be first. But God never intended this man to be first. He's never intended for me and you to be first. You see, God will let you lose in life so that you might win. He'll let you lose in life sometimes so you'll win. You see, I've learned that the things I've lost in this world, I've won with Christ. Paul said to count them but dung. He said that I might win Christ. And He'll let you lose in this old world, in this old worldly system, so that you'll win in Christ. You see, God's not interested in you being first. He was not interested in this lame man to be the first one down in that water. Because God had a bigger plan. And that man could not see it, even though 38 years he had laid there and said, I can be the next one in. And no doubt he had probably inched himself as best he knew how, closer to that pool each day that he lived. He was a crippled person. I say I was a crippled person. I couldn't get in by myself. I was just waiting for the call. And I said, I remember laying in my bed at night and I said, I want to do better. I remember watching my brother read his Bible and do the things of God, serve God, preach the Word of God. I've seen him go down and preach to teenagers down the detention center. And I said, I want to be like him. You see, there's a thing on the outside where people are looking at people that are Christians and say, I want to be like them that you don't know anything about. I was one of them. I said, I want to do what he's doing, but I can't do it, and I want to do better because I didn't have the Christ living inside of me. But one day, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself came to me, and I was like Saul on the Damascus Road, and He shined that great light inside of me. And I remember a month, I probably laid in my bed at night and said, Lord, I'm not saved. And I was wondering where I spend my eternity. I remember walking into Walmart, and that guy asking me this, he said, he was me and my friend standing there side by side, he said, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And I'd go to bed at night with that question, and that man, I could see him asking me that question, not knowing where I'd go if I were to close my eyes in death. And it bothered me. That lame man was probably the same way. He said, if I can just get to when that angel, if I can just time this thing just right and that angel fly down, I'll be the first one in. But he never was going to make it because God didn't have it intended for him that way. He was a crippled person. You'll see not only his disease, his duration, his disappointments. I want to say this. He had decorations. You say, what do you mean by that? Let me ask you this. A lot of you have lived in the house where you're at right now for some years. I've lived in the same place right now for 15 years. You know what we got in our house? We got decorations. We have more decorations now than when we started out. Why? Because they develop more over time. There's been things that we pulled up. Not long ago, we pulled the carpet out of our living room, put some hardwood down. And those decorations have built up. Let me tell you what, that man had probably been on that porch so long that he has decorations. And he's got comfortable living with where he's been living at. You see, how many of you have ever had something broke that you knew that you need to fix, but you began to be comfortable with what you had that was broke, that you was able to live with it? It's like the man with the air conditioner that nobody else can hear. You ever walked into somebody's house and you hear a noise and that old air conditioner groaning and moaning, and you think it's going to be on its last leg? You can even hear the fan and the bearings and the fan clicking. And that, you ask him, say, "Man, what's that noise?" And he says, "I don't hear nothing." A lot of us are like that. This lame man was like that. He had decorations. No doubt he probably brought some stuff in there where he laid. He had already brought his bed, didn't he? And he laid on his bed. If you're going to bring your bed there, you're going to plan on living there for some time, right? I don't take my bed out of my house anywhere. I don't remember one time that I took my bed out of my house and put up at somebody else's house. So I think I'm going to be here a while. If I did that, I'd say, "Man, I'm going to be here a while." If any of you see me coming to your house and I got my bed on my truck, you better get worried that I might move in with you and take up residence. This man, no doubt, he took his bed and he'd laid it there probably for 38 years, and he'd seen all those people and he had decorations. My wife puts up decorations. She puts up pictures. No doubt this guy may have had some pictures or some things that he'd had that reminded him of home. And he said, "I'll lay here and now this is my home." And he got comfortable in what he was living at. He was stuck on his porch. You see, many Christians are comfortable where they are and they don't want to move forward. And they're stuck on that porch. And Jesus is wanting to help them. He's wanting them to launch out. And He's wanting them to do and have that joy and have that peace and quit surviving and go to the living. And they're stuck on that porch, a crippled person. I want to say this thirdly. Not only you see that it's a crowded place, a crippled person, but also you'll see there's a communicated prescription. You see, Jesus, when He showed up on the scene, I want to say this. When Jesus passed by, He's always got the answer. He's always got the answer. He had a communicated prescription. You see, He said, "Sir, I have no man." But Jesus didn't leave him there. He said, "Take up thy bed and walk." And probably that lame man in his mind, he said, "All these other people got healed when they went to the water." Jesus didn't tell him to get in the water, did He? He was going to do a greater thing. And see, a lot of times when we're stuck on our porch, God's wanting to do a better thing, but He's going to make you wait for it. And there's been times I've been stuck on my porch and I was surviving and I wasn't living, only until Jesus passed by and He spoke a word to me. And He said, "Take up thy bed and walk." I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus may be talking to you and He may be telling you to take up your bed and walk. You've been there for a long time. Get up in the strength of Jesus. That lame man probably said, "Lord, this ain't the way they've always done it. Everybody else I've seen healed has always been able to get down to that pool when that angel come down and troubled that water and they was able to step out and get in." He said, "I've never seen it this way." Jesus always does the unexpected. You see, a lot of times we come to church and we expect it to happen a certain way. Come to church not knowing what's going to happen. Expect the unexpected. Let Jesus talk to you. He may even get on you. He may even get you off your porch if you've been standing off for so long. And you'll have to take down those decorations and take down that bed and go move it back to your own house and start living instead of surviving. You see, this man had been there for 38 years. And he said, "Lord, I ain't never seen this way." But he said, "I think I'll try it." Because he didn't even know, if you read the passage of Scripture, he didn't even know who Jesus was. Didn't know, he met him face to face and Jesus talking to him as a man to a man, and he didn't even know who he was. He took his word for it. You know how you're going to get saved tonight? You know how you're going to get moved forward? You're going to have to take Jesus at His word. Jesus said it, that settles it. He had a communicated prescription. He does the unexpected. Not only does He do the unexpected, I want to say this, He does the unexplained. You see, tonight, if you'd been lame for 38 years, you know what half of y'all would have done? Probably three quarters of y'all. And even me, myself, and I probably would have went on Google and said, "Lord, help me find this on Google." And I shut my eyes and type in, "Why am I lame?" Hit enter and see if it pulled up something. And then we'd read all that stuff. Anybody ever done that? You try to be a self-doctor, try to diagnose your own diseases on Google. No doubt that man would have probably done that. He probably said, "Why am I lame?" and hit it and said, "Jesus wants to do the unexplained." You see, no doubt as all those blind people looked on, as all those halt people looked on, as all those impotent people looked on, Jesus went up to that one man and said, "Take up thy bed and walk." And that man got up. And all those other people looked around and said, "I ain't got no explanation for that." I remember when I got saved, I went back and told all my friends I got saved. The boys I'd been running with, they said, "That'll never last. I'm still here tonight." The unexplained, no explanation. Jesus wants to do the unexplained. He can take the roughest sinner tonight and make him white as snow. Isaiah said, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." You may be here and be the darkest, blackest sinner in the building. Let me tell you what, Jesus is able to wash you clean. He's able to do the unexplained. Not only is He able to do the unexplained, I want to say this, He does the unexamined. No doubt if this man had had a disease for 38 years, a lot of us would have probably told him and said, "Man, you need to get to the doctor. You need to go on down to Dr. So-and-so. I recommend him. He's highly recommended." I want to say, Jesus didn't even give him an examination to try to figure out what was wrong with him. The Bible said, when Jesus saw him lie, no doubt when Jesus pulled up, there at that pool, he walked up there that day. He saw him in that condition. How many of you believe Jesus knew how long he had been in there? He'd been in that condition for 38 years. Jesus knew all about that man when he pulled up. He didn't have to give him an examination. I thank the Lord tonight that He knows me. The Bible said He knows my down sittings. He knows my uprisings. It said the Lord compasses about me. He goes round about me. He knows my path when I go forward. He knows my path when I go backward. If I go this way, He's already been there. If I go this way, He's already been there. I thank God that He knows how to do that tonight. He does need no examination. Now I want to say this. It was inexpensive. You see, tonight, if we'd have went to the doctor and did that, they'd have probably took all the money we had. Or we'd have had to make payments on it for some time for somebody that we'd never had walked and they'd come in and give us things. But I'm glad Jesus does the unexpensive. It didn't cost us anything. But let me tell you what, it did cost Him something. It cost Him His life. And I'm glad tonight there's a communicated prescription. And I'll close with this. Not only you'll see a crowded place, you'll see a crippled person, you'll see a communicated prescription, but I'll close with this. He had a confident profession. Look down in verse number 12 in John chapter 5. It says this. The man who raised, verse 10 said, "The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is a Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." Don't think it when you get saved or Jesus does something in your life that people aren't going to ridicule you for it or find something wrong. You see, there's a group of people that's out there and they're going to look for everything that's wrong. They said, "Well, you healed him on the Sabbath." Jesus Himself. All they knew was that old law. And they was caught up in their traditions. Then it said this in verse number 11. He answered them and said, He that made me whole, the same said, said unto me, "Take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus finding him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. I think he had a confident profession. Let me tell you what he did. He got off his porch that day. Imagine as he looked around, each time that lame man, everybody that come up to him said, "What happened to you?" And no doubt as people come up and ask him, he said, "I don't know much about it. I can't explain much about what's happened to me. But I tell you what, this man named Jesus come by. And even though everybody else I've ever seen all my life had to get in that pool to get healed, all he had to do was speak the word. And all he said was, take up thy bed and walk. And then he said he found him in the temple. And he said this, "Thy sins are forgiven. I'll remember no more." Go and sin no more is what he said. I'm glad we have a Jesus that's not only able to heal us, but he's able to save us. The book of Malachi said that this Son of Righteousness has healing in his wings. The book of Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. There might be somebody here tonight that's been hurt, and you've got yourself a little porch that you've been built on, and you've maybe taken your things, and you've been on that porch so long that you may not even know what to do, and you began to operate comfortably in your porch, and Jesus wants you to go from surviving back to living, and live a life of joy, and live a life of peace, and live a life abundantly as Jesus described it, and how he wants us to do. There may be somebody here tonight that's been on that porch. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus may be telling you to take up thy bed and walk. Don't be stuck on the porch. And there may be somebody here tonight this might be their question. Wilt thou be made whole? There may be somebody in the building tonight that's not ever been saved. Let me tell you what, we got a God that can save whosoever of whatsoever. He's not interested in how long you've been doing something. He's not even interested in what you've done. Let me tell you what, He's able to forgive sin. And I'm glad Jesus died for every person. You can look any man, boy, girl, anywhere in the world, and you can say this, Jesus loves you, and Jesus died for you, and you'll be telling the honest truth to anybody you walk up on, because He did that. I'm glad He died for me. It's up to you. You see, this man, when Jesus saw him lie, He gave him the Word, and He spoke to him. Let me tell you what, it was up to that man what he did with it. It's up to us tonight, each time a man preaches, each time a man teaches, what we do with the Word of God. It's our own responsibility. As I said earlier, no doubt this man laid there, and he said, well, if my mama could come by and get me, I'd make it. If my father could come by and get me and pick me up, I'd make it. Let me tell you what, this Christian race is something you have to do individually. It's something you have to do on your own. The Bible said, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You have to receive Him to be saved. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to take up your bed tonight? Is that something you want to do? That's all I got, Brother Mike. Appreciate y'all's attention tonight.